And we've been in there a little bit longer than what I had planned, but that's okay. And we have seen a number of the stories develop, you know, such as the Jacob's ladder there in Genesis, and also how they've taken a number of trips to the north that they might meet spouses. And now we're at the part of the story where Joseph is taken to Egypt, and this is next in God's plan for his promise to Abraham to be fulfilled. Anyone remember the threefold promise?
Nation, land, and seed.
Nation, land, and seed. That's right. And so God is in the movement of fulfilling these promises. And we had noted just the beginning of Joseph's story. Now, you'll notice just real quickly some of these chapters, right? Chapters 1 through 12 was dealing with before the flood and the scattering of the people. So you've got three periods in chapters 1 through 12. And now we're in this patriarchal time period, basically chapters 12 through the end of Genesis. 50 chapters in the book of Genesis. So you see, 21 was Isaac, 25 Jacob, and now 37 Joseph. And so 37 through 50 really cover the story of Joseph. There's more written about Joseph than there was of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. And so that's how important he is in the story of God and the development of God's people. So, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. The last we saw was that Joseph was sent to Egypt. He was sold by his brothers. And now we'll see Joseph become a slave and then eventually a prisoner. So let's divide this reading up a bit here. Can I get a reader to read verses 1 through 9, please? Okay, Liz, thank you.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Israelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?"
Okay, thank you, Liz. All right, so Joseph is now in Egypt, and he has been sold by the Ishmaelite traders to a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, and his name was Potiphar. What is one thing you learn here very quickly about Joseph in these circumstances?
He's not feeling sorry for himself. He's working. He's being reliable. And, you know, I like the verse where it says the Lord was with him. And then I know that he knew that, you know, Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly a lesson for us today. Does the Lord know that the people notice that, you know, we're God's people?
Right. Good. Judy?
I want to
You say
yeah, okay.
Yes, he was trustworthy. Charlotte?
It wasn't like he had an attitude as woe is me, all this trials and stuff comes on me.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bad things.
Yeah.
And he still kept his spirits up, was able to help others.
That's true.
He worked hard.
Yeah, yeah. Rich?
Through all he endured, he still remained as intact, as integrity. You know, he wasn't going to compromise that, and his mind was on the service to God.
Right.
And that's admirable.
Yes, yes. Good. These are good comments. Nancy?
And it reminds me of Proverbs 10, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed.
Mm.
I think that would be a nice goal.
Yeah.
The righteous in the Bible are remembered for a long time.
Mm. Good point. Good point. Yes, he was definitely remembered for his righteousness. Yes.
I was just thinking, it's so interesting how with Potiphar's wife, he knew it was a sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
And I think sometimes if we thought like that, there are things that we wouldn't do.
Good point. Good point. Marie?
If I could add that even though he had a master, he was still prosperous. He was still given position over others. And so he worked his way up. God blessed him.
Right, through the process of time, yes. Judy?
I'm thinking when we're studying this, and God's purpose to bring Christ into the world, is how people obeyed, like Joseph, given not abusing Abraham's wife, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think another, if he had, what would happen? You know, God would work it out some way, but I just going through and looking at scriptures where people obeyed and people didn't obey.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that interesting.
Right, right. Good point. Yes. Here's an example of one obeying, right? And y'all have done good to bring out the fact that, you know, it would be very difficult circumstances that you find yourself in. I mean, removed from all family and everything that's familiar, everything that previously brought you joy in life. And now you find yourself as a slave. I don't think anybody would fault him if he felt terrible about his circumstances and didn't act this way, but yet he does. He acts in a very honorable way and works as hard as he can. And as we mentioned, he still has faith in God, right? I mean, a lot of things, you know, struggles or trials come people's way, and that shakes their faith in God. I'm not sure if I believe God anymore, because why would he allow this to happen to me? But he still believes firmly in God and is going to keep true to what he knows is right, even away from family and away from others that believe likewise. Yes, Charlotte?
He was still pretty young, too.
Mm-hmm, he was.
He had this much strength to overcome these trials.
Very, yes, yes. He was still a youth. Good. Anybody else? Good comments. Okay, so he has, we might say, been successful in the trial of his life, trial number one. And now number two comes his way in the form of sexual temptation from Potiphar's wife. So let's read and see what happens next. If I can get a reader to read verses 10 through 23. Stephanie, thank you.
And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he laid his hand in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. So great trial number two in his life, right? Wow, this is what you call a catch-22, right? Where you make one decision and it's going to be bad results. And you make the exact opposite decision and it's going to be bad results. Maybe you've had something like that in your life before and you realize neither one is a good outcome. But what he does is what is commendable and also something that is taken note by God for all time, that everybody would be able to learn from this young man. That even in a time, you know, when the hormones are the strongest, right? He didn't give in to this sexual temptation presented to him by the devil. And he might have had every reason to indulge, right? With all the circumstances that have unfolded, you know, that this might make a way in which he can forget his pain. But he thought about God and he said, I'm not going to do this. So what happens as a consequence?
He's imprisoned.
Okay.
I was thinking too, this is such a good example of making sure that we're not alone with the opposite sex. Somewhere.
That's right.
Because you just know.
That's right. Yes. It's a, even if nothing would take place, right? There could be potential reputational damage. And if one creates a story, how could there be anybody else to defend you?
He couldn't help it. It wasn't his fault that he was there alone. But, you know, today we can take lessons from that.
Right. He was a slave. That's right. So, yeah, think about that for just a moment. She makes this story up, right? It's a lie. But it's a he said, she said kind of a thing. I think Joseph had presented a character by which Potiphar knew this would be out of character for Joseph. God was with him. God blessed him. And he probably knew his wife's character a little bit as well. So I think any other circumstance, it might have led to the death of this person that was accused, but not in Joseph's case. At the same time, you know, Potiphar, realizes that, you know, something has to be done, and he punishes Joseph with prison. Okay, so any more thoughts about Potiphar's wife and the temptation? Yes.
I just going to say, didn't take the prisoners along to know who they could trust.
Didn't take what?
The prisoners along to know who they could
trust. Okay, good, good. Okay, so that's what I was going to say next. So, you know, with him being in prison, what is it that's interesting about that, and what becomes of him there?
He becomes like in charge of everybody.
It's almost a similar story to what happened in Potiphar's house, right? So there again is something said about the way in which he conducts himself among others that others recognize, while they may not agree with his faith, they say, here's an honorable person, and he can be trusted. And even the main prisoner keeper realizes that. Yes.
When the Egyptians had so many gods, and here he is, there's one God.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been tough for the Egyptians to try. Why didn't you just have one God?
Yes. So different than everybody else. Good. Nancy?
I think this is a situation where it shows in Proverbs, the sixth foundation, two of them deal with mine. First of all, here's the situation of sexual temptation.
Yeah.
Whatever it, you know, so many things wrong, people will use a lie. And God hates that. And there's a proverb that says even the righteous hates lying. A little paraphrasing there. You know where it is. You know, those six abominations, it's a false witness and a lying tongue. Now, I can understand why God hates it. When a person lies, they are saying they do not believe in a God that knows everything, knows and sees everything.
Yeah.
Or they won't be lying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's right. Because God does witness it all. And we here we see it being recorded, the truth. God doesn't forget. Yes.
I just noticed I have a in my margin down here, Psalm 105:19, that talks about Joseph. And it says, you know, how they heard his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him.
Good point. Yes. What a test. Here he is being faithful to God, and he just keeps getting punished for it. but God has the plan, right? Joseph's actually going in the right place for the right time. Good. And we have a song, right? In His Time. And we recognize it's not always, it's not usually the way we think the time should work out. If Joseph would have thought this was a part of God's plan, it didn't make any sense, right? He's away from his family. He's in a foreign country. He's worse than a slave now. He's a prisoner. It just doesn't make any sense. But again, we always learn God's ways are not our ways, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. And so he's always proving to us that we should trust his plan. Okay, if there's not any further comments before we go to chapter 40. Okay, let's break down chapter 40 here. And if I can get a reader to take verses 1 through, let's just say, 12, and then another reader to read verses 13 through 23. Okay, Rich be one, and Jonathan the other. Thank you.
It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt defended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, and the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. When the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had dreamed, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe fruits. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to them, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days.'" And one more verse, or would you have?
Just about 12, and then Jonathan will take over.
"In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. He'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and here, and even here, I have done nothing that should put me in the dungeon." When the chief baker saw the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. Three baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is the interpretation," Joseph replied. "The three baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up your head from off of you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from your body. And on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all of his servants. He elevated the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
Okay, and I'm going to read the very first verse of 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Okay, so now it gives you some context of Joseph in prison, how long everything's taking place. All right, so Joseph's there, minding his business, doing his regular duties. And all of a sudden, one day, a baker and a butler arrive at the same time. And they have some strange dreams, right? And they are talking about it. And we just don't know what this means. And what is Joseph's response?
Do not interpretations belong to God?
Okay. Again, pointing back to God, right? When he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he said, well, I can't do this wickedness against God. He's always thinking about God. And this also now reminds us, too, why God gave him dreams in chapter 37, right? Two dreams to reaffirm his plan for Joseph. Again, it's not making sense how it's going to work out that way, right? Joseph's in prison. His family's way far away. But God is working things out. And even by the sending of this baker and butler, he's working things out. All right. So what is the butler's dream?
The branches in the vine that they shot, the blossom shot for.
Okay. All right. What did all this mean?
That he was going to be restored to duty.
Okay. In, right, 3 days? 3 days' time, is that what it was? Yes.
All three branches mean
yep.
3 days. Yeah.
That's right. Good. All right. So the baker hears this great news. All right. Tell him my dream.
He's not going to be baking cake for Pharaoh's birthday.
Oh, man.
It's the birds that are eating from the basket on his head.
Yeah. And that means?
He's going to have his head chopped off.
Yeah. So, again, we're talking about God's plan. You know, there's one given good and one not good, right? Very bad, actually. You know, how God chose, I don't know. This is, again, God's side of, you know, the story of things. But it's showing, again, that Joseph has this ability. It is, and it's not born within himself. It's because of God, right? That he can interpret the dreams. And they are both fulfilled, aren't they?
And too, we see how countries' leaders did things in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it kind of makes you feel good today. You can just get fired if something happens wrong. You don't worry about your head being
cut. Yeah. Or even expect a fair hearing or a fair trial, right? At least you hope, right? It's far better than this, where in Pharaoh's mind, it's just a thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a flip of a coin. You know, who am I going to choose? I guess I'll save you, not you. Not realizing that God is aware of what is going to take place, right? And the butler would be spared. Nancy? Oh, okay. So the butler would be spared. And it happens just as God said. Except the butler forgot something.
Joseph.
Yeah.
Bringing his name before Pharaoh.
Right. All right. Now, I want to pause here for a second. So, and I'm pausing too much to the story to make these points. But, so, Joseph's in prison. He's doing the best he can to be the best prisoner he can, right? He's being elevated. He's doing the right thing. He's pointing people to God. And yet, that doesn't mean that Joseph says, like, I guess I'll just live here the rest of my life and just enjoy being a prisoner. Joseph still does things within his power to try and better his situation, doesn't he? Right? Remember me when you come before Pharaoh. Right? So we often say this, right? There's God's side and there's man's side, right? There's his part and there's our part. And there's an old saying. Well, there's a couple of old sayings, right? There's an old Indian saying when they talked about being in the canoe and going down the rapids. They said, pray as if everything depends upon God and row as if everything depends upon you, right? And so you are doing everything that you can to better your situation, yet at the same time trusting God along the way, right? So Joseph is trying to get out. You know, he'll be the best prisoner he can be, but this is not where he wants to spend the rest of his life. And that's not a wrong thing, okay? So just to apply some of that, right? Maybe someone's in a bad job situation. You say, well, this is where God has me. Okay, great. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't still try and better your situation, right? Do with what's in your power to do so, right? Someone has a medical diagnosis or condition. Oh, no, that could lead to this. Okay. But, and someone says, well, just trust God. It's going to, you know, whatever, just trust God. Okay, yes, great. But it doesn't mean you still don't try to do what you can to better your situation, right? To try and find the right doctors, the best doctors, or the best medical care, whatever it might be. So here we see Joseph doing the very thing that humans ought to do, right? Trusting God, but still trying to do what they can to better the situation. It doesn't work on Joseph's time schedule, as we read there, chapter 41, verse 1. 2 full years pass before Pharaoh finally has a dream. Okay, any comments, questions? Marie.
What is your thoughts on just how long he was in prison? Because there's thoughts that there's a time period when he was sold at 17,
mm-hmm.
and then started working for the Pharaoh around 30,
mm-hmm.
that we don't know how long he was with Potiphar. We don't know how long he was in prison before the baker and the butler were put in there. And then in verse 4, it says he served them because the captain of the guard chose him to serve the baker and the butler, and they continued a season. I don't know. I was just curious. There's so much thoughts on just how long he was with Potiphar, how long he was in jail. We know there was 2 years after
mm-hmm.
the baker died and then the dream.
So at least 2 years is what we can say. Yeah. At least 2 years, probably more. 2 to 5, 2 to 4. What we do know is the years it was before he sees his father again, which is about 22 years. So 22 years in Egypt. We know that at least 7 of those were the years of plenty. So you can do 22 minus 7. You know, and now that gives you what, 15. Okay, so there's the range, right? How many years in Potiphar's house? How many years in prison? You know, it's not short. It's not short, you know. So right. And I want to say almost, I think it was even 2 years of famine, if I remember correctly, before the brothers are sent over. I might have to double check my numbers again. So it could be more like 13 years of slavery and prison time, something like that. Okay.
2 years before the brothers came.
2 years. So then 13 is probably more of an accurate number then. Good. Anybody else? Yes.
Reach up as high as you can, and God will reach down.
Mm.
God will reach down to you. That didn't even quite right there.
Yeah, it's good.
Reach up as high as you can, and God will reach down the rest of the road.
Yeah, yeah. Very good, very good. Good statements to remind us, right? All right, so chapter 41, let's read of Pharaoh and his dream and what happens here. Let's read verses 1 through let's see, how far do I want to go? Because it's a long chapter. okay. 1 through 12. Let's do 1 through 13. My fault. 1 through 13. If I can get a reader for that. TJ, thank you.
Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows, so Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came on one stalk, plump and good. And behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, and there was no one that could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard, me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, and he and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and he told him, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to read verse 13. It came to pass just as the interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. All right. So, what are the dreams of Pharaoh?
7 cows, 7 back cows.
Okay. Good.
7 good heads of wheat, and 7 back.
Okay. And what do the bad do to the good? That's right. Okay. So this is puzzling.
Any different.
Oh, right. They look the same. Good. Yeah. Good. So this is a very strange dream. And he knows it's something significant, you know. And he calls the magicians, interpret. They can't do it. They don't understand it, right? And then the butler says, I remember my faults this day, right? Joseph been out of sight, out of mind. But now this rings a bell. He remembers. And so he tells him about Joseph, right? He has this ability. He can interpret. It came to pass just as the way me and the baker had dreamed, it was fulfilled. All right, so let's read now verses 14 through 28. 14 through 28. I could. Oh, sure. Thank you, Steph.
Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and he has come to interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came out of the river 7 calves, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other calves came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-faced, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored as did eat up the first 7 fat calves. And when they had eaten them up, and could not be known that they had eaten them, that they were still ill-favored, and as at the beginning, so I woke. And I saw my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after me. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears, and told this unto the magicians, that there was none could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And the 7 good calves are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is more. And the 7 thin and ill-favored calves that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty years blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, show it unto Pharaoh."
Thank you, Stephanie. All right. So Joseph's called in. He interprets, right? And he says the dreams are one, right? They're the same thing. God's repeating the dream for emphasis. It's going to come to pass. Very similar to what Joseph's dreams was with his family. Remember that? The stars and the stocks, they were one. And so God emphasizing again, these things are going to take place. Okay, so what is the interpretation of the dream?
7 years of famine are going to come. There are first 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine.
Okay. 7 years plenty, 7 years famine. And let me tell you, when things are good, you think the good's going to go on forever, right? And God is saying that's not going to happen. In fact, there's going to be seven just as bad as there was good. So God has shown Pharaoh what he is going to do. Well, this right here launches Joseph into the limelight in Pharaoh's eyes, right? This man is special. And by the way, he did the same with the baker and butler, right? He says, do not interpretations belong to God, right? So again, pointing people to God for the interpretation of the dream. And Pharaoh says, this is the man I need to put in this position. Look at verse 37. So he'll give advice to Pharaoh that you need to store up during the blessed years. Verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. And so he set him over all the land of Egypt. And so we see Joseph now has been elevated to such a high position. Basically second in command is what the Pharaoh says. We learn also, verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So he's no longer the young teenager he was, right? 17 when we first met him. Now he's 30. And we also learn that he is given a wife from Pharaoh, from one of his priest's daughters. They marry, they have two children, and these children become very special. Look in verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, from Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. All right, what's significant about those children? Two are the tribes of Israel, right? Manasseh and Ephraim. And by the way, are their names just the really happy-go-lucky kind of names?
No. It says Manasseh making forgetful, Ephraim fruitfulness.
Okay. So, while all of us here were thinking, man, Joseph's so great. You know, he's in a bad situation and he just, you know, is not woe is me and doing everything the best that he could, right? Which is true, right? His actions showed he was going to be the best servant he could be, the best prisoner he could be, and now the best servant to Pharaoh he can be. Those were his actions. It didn't mean he wasn't emotionless. It didn't mean he was a robot. He was still hurt. And he was hurt badly by what had happened. And that's borne out in the names he gives the children. Okay? So it's a good reminder to us, yes, when bad situations happen, still try to do the best we can, serve God, but it doesn't mean that he expects us to be emotionless or not have any hurt through the experience. Yes?
He remembered the bad, but he put a twist of positive on it in what I was thinking, that he made him forget it, because now he's got a position.
Now he's blessed, yes.
Fruitful, even though.
Yes, yes. He is blessed now. Now he could see how God had lifted him. But it was a land of affliction to him. It was. And so, yes.
It's interesting how they have Hebrew names. They give Egyptian names.
Yeah. That is interesting. Good. Okay. So I thought this might happen. I ran out of time with Joseph. But we'll try to maybe go a little quicker through the times with his brothers and his father in Egypt. And maybe on Wednesday we can get to the next time period, the Exodus. All right, class dismissed.